to the Mark Stars Podcast. I am Menace, one of your hosts, and I'm here with Flash.
What's up?
What is up indeed, dude? How are you?
Doing great. Yes, I'm doing great. Do I sound like Max Headroom again this week? That digital stutter?
No. That was
okay.
That was peak.
This is not. We're not doing consecutive Lawnmower Man episodes.
No. If you didn't know, this is the Mock Stars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic: The Gathering, Dr. Pepper, and Don Cheadle. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. 509 subscribers. Become that 510th. Hit that thumbs up. Subscribe. Ring that bell. Oh, yeah. You can also support us on all major podcasting platforms by giving us a 5-star review to make us look super duper cool. We're out there on pretty much everything. You can also find us on Patreon, where you can become an official Pepperhead for $3 a month. Have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server. Support the Mock Stars Podcast. You can also support us at the 2-liter tier, $10 a month. Like definitely Jeremy, Pool Boy, Barry, UWP Quirt, and Aaron Becca. That gets you 2 free entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways. We also have the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier with 1 entry for $5 a month. And we also have Revenlift hanging out in the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge, soaking up the sun with Lola Bunny on the proverbial beach of life with a crisp bottle of Dr. Pepper and the Dr. Pepper French toast delivered by their lovely server, Donald Duck.
I was on the edge of my seat waiting to see where you went with that. who would show up to serve them the Dr. Pepper and Dr. Pepper French toast? And lo and behold, it was Donald Duck.
Daffy. It was Daffy.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's why I was so surprised. Different IP. Different universes.
Mixed IP.
Are we being like wizards right now and just Ready Player Oneing all the IPs into one?
You know, we follow suit here at the Mock Stars Podcast. When things are good in Magic, things are great on the show. When things are bad in Magic, things are bad on the show, man. And so when Magic decides to branch off into a million universes, every IP becomes fair game at the Mock Stars Podcast. So, yeah, Donald Duck and his wizard staff from Kingdom Hearts is what he's serving the French toast with. All right.
Oh, man. You know what? I would love this Final Fantasy set if it just paved the way for Kingdom Hearts set.
It would all the sweeter, I think, for the set to be more Kingdom Hearts focused than Final Fantasy focused.
It would really help the medicine go down, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Like the fact that it's such a serious set makes me a little uncomfortable. Give me a little Donald Duck and Goofy, please. All right.
And just some deeply impenetrable lore.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, with Kairi, Riku, come on. We do have benefits.
Kairi, Riku, all the rest.
All the rest. I can't remember the name.
Now, when you say Kairi, because we were talking about LeBron earlier, you're talking about Kairi Irving, right?
Yes. Yeah. Kairi Irving on Magic Card is on its way. On this week's episode, we are... Well, first, a question was asked this week, and Mark Rosewater decided to, stir the pot a little bit with his response. The question was something. What are you aiming to do with Universes Beyond? And on Mark Rosewater's blogatog, he had written in return to Universes Beyond has made players want in-universe sets to feel more nostalgic. and they don't have to push as many boundaries. And then he asked, could you clarify a bit what you mean by nostalgic and pushing boundaries? I'm a little confused since sets like Bloomburrow and Neon Dynasty were also received pretty well. And those sets were both nostalgic, bringing back Kamigawa, and Lorwyn having heavy Lorwyn inspiration, while also taking taking bold new directions with their worlds. In other words, I don't feel being bold has anything to do with an in-universe set's success, but rather the factor of whether or not that set's theme and world feels appropriate for the world of Magic. Yeah, my word choice wasn't ideal. What I meant is currently players want in-multiverse sets to feel closer to what the core of Magic is. You all want the in-multiverse sets to feel more like Magic, centered in high fantasy, sticking closer to the feel of Magic sets of old. It's not that we can't push boundaries within those constraints. Bloomburrow is a good example of a new world that has the proper feel. Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily lights me on fire as much as it did when I first read the paraphrase quote, but the way it sounds is that...
Hold on, you think you're saying that something taken out of its full context made you angry? Never happens on the internet.
Oh my God. It's like it happens to all of us every single day in our doom scrolling endeavors.
Yeah. It's like the internet has become a psyop.
Yeah. Oh, go on.
Not with the FBI listening.
No. We know they listen.
They know what they did.
If Don Cheadle's listening to this, the FBI is listening. Come on.
But Don Cheadle is not a Fed.
Nope.
Let's make that clear.
No, nope, we've met him. Just kidding. We haven't met him, but we know
Don Cheadle would not snitch.
Mm-mm. No, sir. So really,
what happens in the Mock Stars Lounge stays in the Mock Stars Lounge. Let's just make that clear.
Yep. That's why I haven't posted the Dr. Pepper French Toast recipe yet. It's because that happens to exist in the Mock Stars Lounge. This question, this quote, this response from Mark Rosewater initially had made it seem as though Wizards of the Coast is leaning more into designing in multiverse sets as nostalgia bombs, where like things like Tarkir aren't like necessarily designed with original intent. Like they just are, you know, they're designed with the idea of bringing back a feeling that had once existed. And while
honestly, I would love if they did like Fallen Empires to Risen Empires. Like if we're talking about bringing back nostalgia and feelings, ultimate vibes. One of the greatest disparities between vibes and actual useful playable cards in a set. Yeah. But impeccable vibes in Fallen Empires.
Yeah, no, it was. There was one imperial recruiter was printed in that, right?
So no, that is from Three Kingdoms.
Yeah,
I believe originally.
Yep.
Fallen Empires, really high tide, Hymn to Turok. I think maybe there might be a goblin that goes in and out of the meta from there. But besides that, like a very low impact set.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
in terms of like playable cards.
Sure. You know, and like that does contribute to
even at the time, like even at the time, it was known to be a junk set.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm glad it has some for you. It resonates. Like it probably resonates for some others. Maybe there's dozens of you where it resonates.
There's dozens of us.
For sure.
The rest of Bellman quote. Put that on the soundboard.
There, it's just that, like, when I think we look at it as like, you know, like Brothers War was meant to be retelling or like the telling of the story between Urza and Mishra.
The core lore of Magic, yes, like returning to that.
But that was a historically bad set when it comes to like sales figures and all these other things, right? That people just
definitely weren't... some interesting things in that set. It just really just didn't click.
Yeah, it just like, and that's the thing that I want to like, I guess, double down on with this is while it did seem initially that they were like Mark Rosar speaking in conjunction with Universes Beyond, but now that I read the whole thing, it's not, it's, it doesn't include Universes Beyond pretty much at all. It's just like, pretty much the answer is exclusively related to in multiverse sets. So things that within Magic's IP. So it's almost like designing a good set of cards, regardless of the plane it's in, results in great sales.
Makes sense to me. One plus one equals two. The last I checked.
I will say, Wizards of the Coast, you're making a game. And if that game sucks, nobody wants to play it. But if you're making, like, it doesn't matter how many reskinnings or how many different prints there are of the Mythic Chase card or whatever, like, those things just, if it's proven anything, those things don't sell the sets, right? Like, with Brothers War being historically bad at, or with sales and everything like that, it's like, in the hat sets being even worse, right? No one cares for serialized cards. It's a bonus. It's like in the restaurant industry. I offer a prime rib on the menu. I also offer a French dip, where after the prime rib is like sat for a full service, we slice it so that we can use it for French dips later on, right? The French.
Now, in this scenario, is Mana Vault a French dip?
It can be. It can be, because I'm not trying to sell the prime rib. I'm trying to sell the French dip. I like the prime rib sale is a bonus, right? That a lot of people don't even care about when they look at the menu. They go, oh, French dip for that is reasonably priced. Sweet. I'll buy that. Oh, it's made with prime rib. Let's go. Right. That actually generates sales. The prime rib does not. So it's a bonus sale that makes up for my food cost, like when it does happen. But regardless, what I'm trying to get at is all these extra like toppings for the sets. Very rarely does that actually appeal to a consumer who is existing in a economic crisis. Pretty much the whole of the United States and in the world is facing some sort of economic, I don't know, how would you say, it's like a divot currently. Maybe you can be a little bit more dramatic in it and say, oh, we're in a pretty big hole. Depression might be a good word for it. But
yeah, no, definitely the global economy is tanking thanks to... Well, I don't want to assign responsibility, but you get it. You get where I'm going with this.
But it's funny. You know, it's like it does impact. It impacts this game. Hate to say it. This game's part of the world. So, yeah, like.
Yeah, how no, many cards- definitely. If your choices financially are to eat cat food for dinner or buy some cardboard, I mean, you're probably not buying the cardboard.
Yes, like exactly. Right. So. In a world where people are going to choose whether or not to eat cat food or buy your shiny cardboard, like you do have to make a decision on where you allocate your resources in design. So design a good game and they will come. Like people will come. That's how they got here in the first place. Okay? We don't need all the shiny shit on top, like are the additional. You know, it was actually great was when every card came in foil, which they do now. It's still a thing. But like there was potentially one foil in every pack. And so rare foils were like actually hard to come by. Mythic foils. Holy crap. But bring it back. Recenter yourselves and put yourself back out there. Like. There aren't many whales out there. None of us are brilliant.
Well, I mean, kind of speaking of recessions, you know, going back to the one in 2008, the subprime market crisis, that was caused by skeptical, money hungry people saying, hey, if we chopped up crap assets and included some good assets in there, they will be graded as if they completely contain the good asset.
Yes.
And that's kind of like what Wizards has done, is they're like, all right, we're going to chop up the crap product, but we're going to include some mythic chase foils in there.
Yeah.
And the only way to get those is to buy, you know, the collector's boosters and the premium products and blah, 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 and spend more money. And, you know,
that'll sell the product.
It's a cynical way of like manipulating the market.
This is a grade A product you're receiving right here. Yeah, it's like it very much feels like that. So if you're out here and you're in the betting world, buy the short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that's the direction that it's headed in. And it's only, you know, it only, as we learned, it only takes so long for the bubble to pop. So, or the bubble to burst. Yeah. Not to say that that's what we extrapolated from this exact quote, but
it's a related conversation to,
yes.
You know, it's also our ongoing conversation about like Wizards has really lost the balance. You know, especially since, you know, being owned by Hasbro, has really lost the balance between, hey, a game that people are passionate about and an IP that is continued across decades, 30 plus years now, because people have passion for core aspects of the product. And the fact that you can also make a collector's product and a product that you can just like sell cynically, even though it's junk wax, you know, and make money off it in the business sense. Like, and that also circling back to what we were talking about earlier with the current recession we're in, it's that sort of MBA ideology, that business oriented ideology where everything is literally just numbers on a spreadsheet and there is just no heart to any of it. And like no moral or ethics or underlying reason or anything containing the drive to make the maximum amount of money in a sociopathic business way.
Yes. Nostalgia is just the laziest form of design where it's like, no originality. Like you are just taking the thing that you once created that was once successful and just rehashing it again, serving it up. Like, I get it. I like bacon, eggs, and potatoes.
Here's a legacy sequel, and we'll throw in a cameo from some of your favorite characters from the original. Boom. And not put any effort into making, you know, justifying itself as a piece of art or justifying itself as a product if we're talking about Magic the Gathering.
Right. I think, yeah, it's like, it's nostalgia. Like, I think I opened this up by saying that nostalgia is fleeting, right? Like, there's nothing that like keeps me grounded. Like Tarkir Dragonstorm will be a fleeting set. Like, it's a trip down memory lane that we all eventually move forward in our lives, right? Like, and it's great that new players get to experience Tarkir. Sweet. Awesome. This does not like, I will just say it, just because it has Tarkir plastered to the pack and to the set, this does not feel like Tarkir of old. Like the set does not. So like the artwork has definitely changed. The vibe of the game has definitely changed. Things are like just the structure and how, I don't know, like it's very odd.
You can contrast that with Kamigawa, where with Neon Kamigawa, it was like, okay, here is that setting, move forward in time, but it felt like there was world building and a reason to be there, and there was continuity between the worlds and the stories being told.
Yes. And I don't know what it is about the Dragonstorm thing, but it just doesn't feel whole to me. It just like there is something missing from it. So maybe it's that pursuit of nostalgia that is starting to like leak through and like make it feel hollow, where it's just like, yeah, this was a set of all time. And, you know, like so far, the sales have been great for Wizards of the Coast. They've already met pretty much the same exact sales numbers that Bloomburrow is at now in such a short amount of time. So like people are obviously hot on it. Not a lot of people are going to agree with my opinion that the set doesn't feel right, but you know, it's like, I'm glad y'all.
Yeah, but is that justified by the product, by the design, by the playability, or is it pure nostalgia bubble?
Like for me,
has anyone sat there and just tracked with like the recent nostalgia based sets, like if there is just like a little bump to it. Like it automatically gets a 10% bump in sales out of nostalgia.
That is
like if you track it across against other sets.
That is worth looking at. Absolutely. Cause I can only surmise that it is. Like there's a bump that people are like, oh, we're going back to Kamigawa. Swoop. Like jumping in, cannonball. And then they spend their entire paycheck on collector's booster boxes. Maybe that's it. All right. If you noticed on YouTube in the corner, normally where we have the tokens cycling on, you know, like in the card slot there, you'll see that the tokens have been redesigned, that there is a new frame and a little bit of a formatting thing that changed there. So if you'd like some tokens, if you see these and you're like, oh, wow, these are super rad, way radder than the ones that I saw in last week's episode, make sure to reach out on the Discord server. We'll get some tokens in your hands. All right. The main topic, I didn't realize, you know, like we were going to dive in so deeply into what Mark Rosewater said there. But the main topic today is that on April 22nd, next Tuesday, the Commander Format Panel will be releasing their new update for the Commander ban list. So since the previous ban list, we've had a few things change in the world of Commander. We now have brackets and game changers and all of these things. So speculative, what could change? What is great about this episode is that you'll listen to it after the changes have been made and realize that we were 100% right the entire time and that all of these things that we're about to say are about to come true. So let's dive right in. Speculation, now that brackets exist, right? And now that they can sort of wall off certain things within, you know, like to protect players who want to be in the 1 and 2 range from the players who want to be the 3, 4, 5 range. What cards could get unbanned and labeled as game changers? That's an interesting, it's an interesting thought to have because it's like, does this mean Hull Breacher could come back in any form or fashion?
Yeah, it certainly, we'll see how much imagination the committee has, but it certainly opens up possibilities, right?
Yeah, like, I think this definitely brings, like, fringe banned cards that were, like, banned and then were questioned, like, right after. I think, like, Iona, Shield of Emeria. Iona is a big old angel for 6 and 3 white, so 9 total mana. That as Iona enters the battlefield, choose a color. Your opponents can't cast spells of the chosen color. So this was when it was banned, sort of like, I don't know, people tilted their head at it. Like, why is this getting banned? And mostly because of like reanimation strategies where you just bring it in for cheaper, completely shut off somebody's like deck or at least half of their deck or whatever. Right. That's kind of the idea, is they're like, this makes for an unfun experience for monocolored decks. Okay. Now you can put it as a game changer and say, yes, this definitely absolutely warps the game around it. This is a game changer. I think that is reason for it to become unbanned. I think they might pull that one off the ban list.
Mm-hmm.
The next card that I think they pull off the ban list and reintroduce is Leovold. Do you remember what Leovold does?
Sure don't.
Sultai, Legendary Elf Advisor, says each opponent can't draw more than one card each turn. Whenever you...
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, whenever you or a permanent you control becomes the target of a spell or ability an opponent controls, you may draw a card. So, Leovold, Emissary of Tress, this is a card that was banned very early in the format. So not a lot of love here for old Leovold, but I'm hoping it's being thought about as a potential game changer. Because
that would would that like immediately become a meta commander?
It would immediately become, yeah, probably become in a meta commander or a in the 99 stacks piece against the current meta, which is like,
okay,
yeah, which is Rhystic Study focused. So,
yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it, like, it changes the game in the sense that, like, no, like, you could pretty much guarantee one of your four opponents is mulligan, is going to mulligan down to a Rhystic or Mystic or something of that nature in their opening hand. It really targets that.
Yeah, and this, it's not like this is easy to achieve. It's not like it's a two drop like Voice of Victory that gives you the, you know, Grand Abolisher effect. It is a complete salt eye, like black, green, blue, three mana, like that's it. You know, it's like that's its casting cost. So it's color restrictive, to, you know, like as color restrictive as it gets. It's not like you can just soul ring this thing out. So it requires either reanimation or a little bit of setup or a couple turns to have gone by before you can actually just drop a Leovold on the table. That, as you know, like as I look through the list, like Ancestor Recall is not coming back, Balance not coming back, but Biorhythm, I do believe Biorhythm has a chance to come back here. So, and I don't think this is going to be made into a game changer either. If you are unfamiliar with Biorhythm,
oh, you think that's just like a clean, it's back and legal?
There are so many two card combos that require less mana than this to win the game. Like, this is not even a one card combo. Like, if you're caught with your pants down and you don't have a creature at turn 7 or turn 8 when someone ramps into this, then yeah, you probably deserve to lose. And the game should come to a close, right? But if you are using this, you also likely have to have in conjunction a board wipe or something to replace the creature that you have. So, yeah, I think this comes back. Not a game changer. Not worthy of being a game changer. There aren't enough cheat and cast target sorcery or instant for free, you know, like type effects. I think Wizards of the Coast has been good about not really designing those. But, if, yeah. If,
or making them themselves cost restrictive in some way.
Yes. Right. Like, Biorhythm says each player's life total becomes the number of creatures they control. So, like, there's also a shaman from Tarkir that has, like, a very similar effect. Shaman of the Forgotten Ways. I just don't think it's worthy of being banned anymore. It was a once upon a time feel bad card for casual players. I just don't think it has that level. I don't think it does as much as it used to. People are talking like Dockside Extortionist is going to come back as a game changer. What do you think on that, Flash?
Man, there's arguments to be said for both ways. Definitely, if it's a format warper. Like, it's not even a game changer. It's a format warper, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably where we could have the most discussion because of what Dockside meant to Commander for so long. And it was the whole reason Wizards of the Coast gained, like, control of the Commander format was because Mana Crypt, Jeweled Lotus, and Dockside got banned in one sweeping move. So, you know, it's like, and I think a larger part of that was Dockside. Like, maybe Mana Crypt costing so much, people are pissed about losing, you know, like $200.
No, I mean, timing-wise, it's hard to not be cynical and say, well, Magic loves to reprint mana. Now they're going to ban it.
Yeah.
Useless card.
No, I mean, it's like Dockside. Okay, so let's, you know, we have to rewind and include sort of like the conversation that we had with Atlas as well, included in this. The current problem in CDH is that there really aren't any ways to
consistently punish board state development and jam wins early. Dockside did both, comboed off, you know, Emil, Teamer Sabretooth, bunch of clones, bunch of bounce effects once existed in the format that no longer do. Like, it allowed for a lot of explosive potential out of nowhere for two mana. So, and the crazy part is that we're considering bringing back one of the most poorly designed cards in all of Magic because our explosive potential was taken away. Like, and having it be put down as a game changer, I think it's more than a game changer. Like, I think it does more than any other card on the game changer list. It's just release another one. Give us a differently costed
dockside. Make a fixed version of it.
Yes. Like, when it enters, add the mana to your pool. I don't know. Something like that. Something that doesn't create treasures. Or make it, and then make it four mana instead of two. So it's harder to get out, harder to make it happen.
Or you lose one life every time it enters.
Yeah. Something to make it. Yeah, you lose one life for each treasure it creates. Boom.
Yeah, there you go.
Good luck playing that. It would still get played. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you just... Angel's Grace goes in there.
Yes, yeah, your life total can't change. Or if it were to go one or lower. Yeah. All right, so at Dockside, could it come back as a game changer? That's... I think another part of the argument is, and this goes along with Mana Crypt and Jeweled Lotus, is that these could be brought back as game changers because it also allows Wizards of the Coast to print high profile cards to create greater sales in the future. That's what all of this, any of this, all of these changes, once the change happens, will be it's probably happening already at Wizards of the Coast. Like, hey, we're going to unban. I don't know, Gifts Ungiven, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to unban Gifts Ungiven. And they're like, sweet, we'll put it in the set that drops next January. And it's like, yep, squeeze it right in there. It becomes a bonus card, a special guest card. And then the sales for that set would increase because the demand for that card, since it hasn't been printed in forever, is now, you know,
exactly. Wizards taking control of the commander format kind of allows for that sort of cynical aspect to it.
Yeah.
Where they're just going to do things for business reasons rather than format reasons. Whereas the old rules committee, you know, it was purely format driven. And the drawback was that both competitive Magic and casual Magic shared the same rule set.
Yeah.
So I think the new advisory committee solves that problem, but it creates the additional problem of now there's a lot more business oriented aspects to the decision making rather than being purely format driven.
Yeah, and gameplay driven. And like, this is Braid's Cabal Minion was an old combo deck that people have wanted back in the format for a long time. It was just reprinted in Modern Horizons 2. But at the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player sacrifices an artifact, creature, or land. So it's definitely very punishing to Dark Ritual or, you know, bring this out early. I've seen Braids unbanned or an unbanned Braids I've seen come out on turn one before. And then it just completely locks the game in their favor. And then you get punched by a 2/2 until you die. It's very much a punishing card. There's talk of that coming off since it did see the reprint in Modern Horizons 2. But yeah, I'm not sure at what level and what, I guess, yeah, we were talking about it being basically a marketing, the ban list almost becomes a marketing scheme.
And it will, not to sound cynical, cool.
Yeah, no, it
is ultimately an aspect of what it's going to be.
Right. And so you have to speculate, oh, what could possibly come back that wouldn't destroy the balance of the format, and then also contribute to interactive gameplay, where I don't think that, like, I think that Dockside gives CDH a way to push through the current stalemate that exists on the board. Like, but I don't think like bringing Mana Crypt and Jeweled Lotus back is really like a necessary thing. The only reason that they would do that, in my opinion, is so that they could reprint and sell those in the future. Like,
Yeah.
yep.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Jeweled Lotus exists to sell product.
Yes. Yeah.
Specifically.
yeah, that's funny. Yes, that's exactly the reason it was designed. There are other cards on here that people would love to see unbanned, like Golos. Golos is one that I could see, you know, like we have Kinnan. Kinnan does the same thing but better, and you know, in a way. And then Grizzlebrand is something that people would love to see unbanned. You know, it's
Oh
got a
man.
lot of reprints lately, but that card just can't, it can't come back.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys are not familiar with Grizzlebrand, it's a big old demon dude. He's 8 mana, 4/4 black. So you would think, oh, that's color restrictive. One reanimation spell will tell you otherwise, because it's 7/7 flying
Yeah.
lifelink that pay 7 life, draw seven
And you know,
cards.
the problem is the card draw, it draws you 7 cards in a format where you can draw 7 cards for 7 life and you start with 40 life.
Yeah. Yep. These are like, this is just a card that was designed at a different time, and they didn't really see the impact it was going to have. So yeah, in a 40 life format, way too good.
Well,
Not
I will say I in standard in when Grizzlebrand was standard legal, it was also a problem.
yes. Oh yeah. Like on now on Arena, it's a brawl card. Like you can play it in brawl.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't
Yeah.
know it was all legal.
Yeah, it is disgusting when it happens. So
Like Grizzlebrand seems like one of those cards where like you if you create a new format in Magic, it's the automatic first wave ban list.
yeah.
So it is wild to me that it's a that it's a brawl card.
Yeah, it's kind of gross. The other card that people are speculating, it doesn't really require a reanimation spell to bring it back, but it does require 15 colorless mana. Emrakul, the Aeon's Torn. It's a
Ooh, okay.
yeah.
Spicy.
Yeah. 15/15 can't be countered. When you cast a spell, take an extra turn after this one. Flying protection from spells that are one or more colors. Annihilator 6. So it's almost as if it had haste. That's the problem. When Emrakul, the Aeon's Torn, is put into a graveyard from anywhere, its owner shuffles their graveyard into their library. I think this would pull the other Shuffle Titans out of rotation, put this one right in. It just has the upside of giving you extra turns, infinite extra turns, likely if you're able to cycle or create infinite mana. So yeah, this is another one. I don't think it's as much of a problem as it once was when the format was slower and we had less things to deal with this, but I would imagine that they could bring this one off and it wouldn't be a huge problem. It'd be If you make it a game changer, it's not a huge problem. But
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think you look at the text on that card and you're like, this will change the game.
yeah.
Even in a vacuum, knowing nothing else, being like, wow, that seems like that will change the game.
Hey, if you're all listening to this, to this episode, to this show, the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering, Dr. Pepper and Don Cheadle, you would know that we talk about Magic and Commander in a competitive way. So, if you're part of the casual crowd, I'm sorry. The game has to end at some point. Like, it just has to end. And if someone has generated 15 mana and you've only generated 4, I'm sorry, but that game should end and you should restart. Like, if this is what does that, resets it, and everyone picks up and goes, no hard feelings. Let's do it again. I will be prepared for this the next time. Like, that is the logical, like, right, deductive reasoning.
Yeah, it's
this.
A fair card. Yeah. It is fairly powered for its mana cost.
Sure, there are ways for people to be able to, like, probably cast it without paying its mana cost. I'm sure there are, right? But it's telegraphed, like, to a certain point where it's like, oh, you have an enchantment on the field that says you can cast whatever the hell you want without paying its mana cost. Omniscience, whatever. Sweet. I'm aware of that. I'm aware that this is a possibility now. Let's stop this from happening. I don't know, something like that, right? Anyway, Emrakul could come back as a game changer. I don't think it would break things. Let's see. Yeah, we already talked. Jeweled Lotus can't come back. Caracas cannot come back. All the Moxes, bring those back, baby. I think the next thing would probably be Paradox Engine. This was, you know, like, I don't know if this one can come back. Whenever you cast a spell, untap all non-land permanents you control. It's a 5-mana legendary artifact. I don't know. I don't know about this one. Maybe not. Let's just skip that one. We're skipping it. Go away. All right, Primeval Titan. This is a game changer, to say the least. I think that this is a, you just take your hands off. You do not even look at this as a potential unbanning. It is so stupid good. Like, prime time. Primeval Titan. If you are not familiar with Primeval Titan, it's a 6-mana giant, 6/6, part of the Titan cycle with Sun Titan and all those other things that we see in every single commander deck. Whenever Prime Time enters the battlefield or attacks, you may search your library for up to 2 land cards, any land cards, and put them onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library. Now, this doesn't seem like, oh, 2 lands when it enters, that's what I get. Okay, cool. What do you grab with those? What do you grab with that, huh? I mean, it just grabs Gaia's Cradle. You can also do the Dark Depths combos. Like, in a casual commander game, it's just too much. Even in CDH, as soon as this gets unbanned, it becomes a build around card. I think, like, almost immediately. It goes into every Kinnan deck. It goes into, I don't know, just so many different things right away. I think it becomes mono green. It just becomes a staple in green. Like, it's not that hard. It's not that hard to get to 6 mana anymore. And that can happen as soon as, like, turn 3, I'd say, in an average CDH game, is like someone's going to have 6 mana on turn 3. So,
I mean, I would say Prime Time gets unbanned, Kinnan becomes the number one deck.
Yeah. It would immediately become part of that shell. This is one of those cards that, while it might seem like a fun idea initially, you would, the week after, the first commander night you go back after they unban this, you're going to have a bad time. It's going to be a lot of prime time. Be a lot of prime time. A lot of people with that attitude, you know, like, I don't know. It's so much fun to say prime time. Just be like,
imagine playing against Neon Dion in his prime.
Yes.
That's what it would be like.
Yeah.
Every Magic night.
This is a card that still sees a lot of play in Modern. It's Amulet Titan is the deck, but it's incredible. Like, all it needs to do is land, and usually you win the game because you get land. So, yeah, this is the only format that it's banned in, but for good reason. The games usually last a few extra turns, and just getting, you want to, if you get an attack trigger off this, it's disgusting. Like, it's too much. The value has exceeded. Like, it already exceeds its value just by grabbing 2 lands, usually Gaia's Cradle amongst them. So, yeah, Prime Time, I'm sorry. You're banned. Not coming back. As far as other cards go, there's been some speculation that something like Sundering Titan could come back. I don't believe that. That would obviously be a huge game changer. I think Emrakul is more likely to come back, where Sundering Titan is an 8-mana colorless golem that says when it enters the battlefield or leaves the battlefield, choose a land of each basic land type, then destroy those lands. So just one flicker gives you the destruction of potentially 10 lands. Pretty cool. Right? Yes? No, just 5. You get to So enters 5, leaves 5, enters again 5. So 15 potential lands being destroyed off of one Ephemerate. So a pretty nasty card by design. I don't really think that could ever really come back. And then Yawgmoth's Bargain. What do you think about
that?
Ooh,
I don't think so. I don't think that comes back.
This is one. It's a 6-mana enchantment, mono black, 4/2 black. Skip your draw step, pay 1 life, draw a card. Why not? We have Necropotence.
I would say this and Grizzlebrand both fall into the category of it automatically makes a Kyrick deck too powerful.
Oh, man.
As well as other reasons, but...
Yeah, Vilas would get crazy with this, too. You know, like... Yawgmoth's Bargain. I think... It's banned. It's only illegal in one format, and that's Vintage. You know,
Also, I believe one of J.D. Vance's favorite cards.
Oh, no, we can't do that. Can't do that. Can't unban that. Keep it banned for that reason alone. Well, with everything that is banned in Commander, what do you think should come back? Leave us a comment on the YouTube video down below. If you think Scheherazade should come back, let us know.
What a chaotic choice.
Yes, or Chaos Orb. One of those things. Tear up your cards, throw them in the air, see what they land on, destroy those permanents. Any final thoughts on this, Flash? Any speculation over there?
I think they're going to make everything Silver Border legal.
I would love that. I would love to be able to play the Hydra Doodle as a legal card in Commander. Well, this has been the Mock Stars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering, Dr. Pepper, and Don Cheadle, and Space Jam 2, and Vin Diesel. This is, you know, I think we can confidently say that, too. We also have the coolest hats in the world as part of our Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge access. So make sure you sign up for that. Get some sweet-ass hats. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. Support the show, 509 subscribers at the time of this recording. The Tayam Luminous Enigma video was just as popular as I thought it'd be. It was a lot of fun. That deck is always popping off, always evolving. So if you haven't seen that episode, make sure you cycle back, check that out.
I don't think Tayam has evolved.
No.
Keyword ability.
Oh, no. Oh.
Nope.
It would be good. It'd be even better than it is now. It had evolve. Be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it would put counters on it.
It would put counters on itself. You'd love to see it. You can also support us via Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead. For $3 a month, have your name turned Dr. Pepperhead on the Discord server. Support the show. You can also support us at the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier, like Maybe Anthony, Mono Greg, Jacob Hibbard, Tommy Cypher, K Mr. K, and Will Rule. Thank you guys all so much for your support. You can also support us at the 2-liter tier. Get 2 entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways, and support us at the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge tier, like Revenlift. Get 3 entries and a free hat every single month. All right. What you got going on the rest of the day, Flash?
I have a pop-up later.
Sweet. If you're in the Philadelphia area, make sure you go check out Flash's pop-up.
Oh, it will have already happened by the time this episode publishes.
But they're happening regularly, correct?
Yeah, I guess so. Whatever.
Yeah, go find him. You don't know what his real name is. Go find him.
You can find me.
He does the greatest Chocopan.
Yeah, right. There we go.
Yeah.
The greatest Chocopan on earth.
Yes.
That old movie.
All right, we're out of here. Peace.
Bye.